My name, Eliasin. Actually, my full name is Eliasin Rosario Cruz. Rosario is my paternal last name, and Cruz is my maternal last name, Eliasin Rosario Cruz. But my name, first name, Eliasin, is not a common name. I think I've met only another person in my whole lifetime with the name Eliasin. That is outside my family, because while I say that Eliasin is not a common name, it is very common in my family. I am named after my father, who's Eliasin, and then my middle child, his name Eliasin, also after my father and after me. Although, because he was born on Christmas Day, he goes by the name Gabriel, just like the angel. He's a teenager. He's struggling living up to that name, but he's making it. I always carried my name, Eliasin, with a sense of pride. It's unique, and I believe that its uniqueness have shaped me. I cannot imagine being named any other name. I cannot see myself with any other name except for Eliasin. It holds an essence of my identity. However, all that sense of pride goes out the window when I go to a coffee shop. I've heard my name butchered so many times in so many creative and different ways that when I'm at a coffee shop and I order a coffee, I'm very quick to change my name. So if you and I were going out for coffee, you'll notice very quickly that when the barista asks for a name to go with the order, I say, my name is Ricky. That is an easier name to write down, an easier name to pronounce, and it's also the name of my spouse, so it cannot keep me close to the one I love. I have many other stories and anecdotes that had to do with my name, and I believe that you too. I'm sure there's connections, family stories, images, history, connections with literature that had to do with your name, and I invite you to think about that in the days to come. Naming and the act of renaming is very much part of our faith tradition. The canon of Scripture from the very beginning in the Bible, we have divine creation and divine naming. And then we continue with that story, and in Scripture, you'll notice that there are new names or simply things that are named for the first time or people or places that are renamed to mark a new identity or to mark when someone lived to their true identity. So to take a new name, given that one is living to their true identity, or to be connected to a new name, is not a new thing for us. It's something that is part of our faith tradition. And then, again, in the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, we have that story of Jacob. It's in chapter 32 of Genesis. And it is that time when Jacob is wrestling. He wrestles with what many believe to be the angel of the Lord. It says in that chapter, in chapter 32 of the book of Genesis, that Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." For he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." And that is the first time that we hear that name, Israel, in the book of Genesis. And it's not that. if you continue reading there, you will also learn that that place where the wrestling with that person or that man or the angel of the Lord happened, after the event, Jacob changed the name of the place to mark that there's been a holy encounter there. As we continue, there's many of these events of naming and name changing or adopting new names in scriptures. And in the story of Jesus and his disciples, think of the man named Simon. One of them, one of these people who were with Jesus, this Simon, there was something so special about him that Jesus changed his name to Peter, to Petros, to Rock. And then as we continue in the story, as the way of Jesus is finding its way, those followers of Jesus and the gospel is finding its way through the Gentile lands, there's a man who's writing these letters with truth and admonition and teaching to the churches. A man that used to be known as Saul now is referred as Paul. Something has happened, and there's this emergence of a new way of naming this person. So naming and renaming is important and is part of our faith tradition. In today's gospel story, we continue to bask in the glow of the modest and fragile Christmas story because we're still in the Christmas season. And this story includes the naming of the baby. Here in this story, we find the new parents holding their newborn son. I recall the anxiety and the utter sense of holy fear that I felt when I held my firstborn child for the first time. When I held my little girl in my arms for the first time, I welcomed her with indescribable sense of joy, but also with an abysmal sense of dread. And perhaps that's the closest I can come to define reverence, being faced with the awe at the beauty and tenderness of new life. And yet this new and tender new life was entrusted to me. And now I was to care for her and to raise her. I imagine the weight of the world in the arms of the new parents, Joseph and Mary, whom in such precarious conditions were holding the extraordinary gift of good news to all people. I wonder about the thoughts and hopes and fears that Mary pondered in her heart while nursing the hungry baby. When my first child was born, my parents were the first one to come and visit the baby. And the first one who held my newborn daughter was my father. And this was very surprising to all of us. It was surprising because this is the same man that when his own daughter was born, he held her for the first 6 months of her life with a pillow under her because he was afraid that he was going to let her go and that she was going to fall. He was so fragile. But once he became an abuelo, once he became a grandparent, he was the first one to go in and grab and pick up my daughter, pick up his granddaughter with so much eagerness and happiness. According to this gospel story today, the first one who came to see the baby were not the grandparents, but the shepherds. It was the shepherds who received the message from the angel. They went with haste, leaving their flock behind to find Mary and Joseph. The sweaty and smelly shepherds, they were the first one to pay homage to the bearer of salvation and to bring honor to the Holy Family. I wonder if they were allowed to hold the baby. For us, it might be a quaint and whimsical image to think of the shepherds coming around the manger with the Holy Family. But bear in mind that these were strangers. We're not family members. And most likely, these were people living at the margins of society, distrusted by many. Now, in terms of naming, I try to find out what were the names, the most popular names for this coming year, or actually for last year, for 2022. And according to babycenter.com, it's a real website. According to babycenter.com, for both, for 2021 and for 2022, the most popular names for babies were Olivia and Liam. I doubt that the name of Jesus will be in that list anytime soon. The new parents, Mary and Joseph, they did not have to look into baby books. They did not have to spend hours over at babycenter.com. They didn't have to argue or figure out which side of the family, from where they're going to get the name. It was given to them. They named the child Jesus. This was a name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus, or Jesus in Espanol, is the Latinized version of the name Joshua, or Yeshua, which means Yahweh will save, or Yahweh is salvation. And it also echoes to that patriarch, Joshua, whom after the death of Moses brought the people of Israel into the promised land. From very early on, that child, Jesus, that name given to him harbors memories, stories, and a promise. In such little child wrapping bands of cloth lying in a manger, there beat the heart of longings and aspirations and the promises of salvation for all, as the angel proclaimed. And that is how all this following of Jesus begins, friends. This is how this journey toward the way of Jesus begins. With nervous parents pondering with reverence and awe their little bundle of joy, while surrounded by workers from the field, the shepherds who did not belong now find a place of good news, of salvation for all the world. And this is how God come to us, friends, by self-emptying, by being born in human likeness, as the text in Philippians remind us, and by incarnating into an ordinary, fragile body. While this story is remarkable and mighty, I cannot avoid to notice how ordinary it is. It is about gentle beginnings, strangers finding a place of belonging, and new parents holding their breath as they carry the new child in reverence for the life that will outbloom. This remarkable story continues to unfold for us in the invitation for us to behold all of life with awe, reverence, and admiration. And we too can follow in this tradition of naming. We too can name the divine gifts that flourish and thrive around us. We can name the gift of love. We can name the gift of gentleness, the gift of hospitality. We can name the gifts of generosity and the gift of community. We too can name those divine gifts. And as we begin this year, friends, may we have eyes wide open to see the gifts, to name them, and to welcome all that might come our way in the name of Jesus. a name that harbors the promise and the actuality of good news of salvation for all, as proclaimed by the angels. Amen.